Hey, Kirsten.
Was hard to get onto Zoom as it would be. Hey, Karen. Oh my God.
I see. Hi, Claire.
Yes,
Hi, Prof.
hello.
Hi, Kaiser.
Hi, Karine.
Hi, King Stewart.
Hello. How are you guys?
I'm good. How are you guys?
All good, yeah. The tow truck just pulled up.
Awesome. Praise the Lord for his protection, eh?
Fiction. Yeah, definitely. Big time. Awesome. You guys should know I'm special now.
Yeah.
You're the only king, the queen.
Should know I'm blessed and highly favored.
Hey, Claire, he's the king, we're the queens.
Yes.
There we go, there we go. Yeah, there needs to be a rose between the thorns, eh?
Other way around.
I'm gonna
Other
mute.
way around.
The joy. Thank you for the joy, Lord.
King Stuart, guess what you said? There has to be a thorn. There has to be a rose amongst the thorns.
Thorns.
Other way around, boy.
Yeah. Don't worry. Even men can have blonde moments. Yeah, guys, welcome to tonight's Zoom. I hope you guys had a blessed day on your fast and some heavenly encounters today. I had a good time. I was really blessed. Just in one sentence, just quickly in one sentence, how was your day? How's the fast going? We'll start with Claire.
Yes, it's going fine, thank you. I've had loads of opposition, that's all I can say. In the moment, we were on call last night, so the battle is on.
Sounds familiar. Kirsten.
It's been God is good. That's all I can say. Okay.
Kaisha.
Mine has been peaceful. It's
awesome.
Been good.
Awesome, awesome. King Stewart. Okay, I think Stewart is maybe busy sorting out his bike because I see he just dropped off. Marcia? Marcia?
I'm still at work. I can't say anything right now. I'm just putting my headset on. 1 second, sorry.
No problem. While we're waiting on Marcia, Natalie, you're able to respond? No, you said you were driving.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to drive now. Hello, everybody. Bless you all. Yeah, I've had a blessed day. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Been wonderful.
Awesome. Who's on Galaxy J7? Is it VWare?
Looks like Frida.
Okay. Hi, Frida. Okay. All right. Well, it seems as though we've had an interesting second day. Kaisa, why don't you open up for us in prayer before we start? Kaisa?
Yes, sorry. You turned me there.
Yeah, open up for us in prayer, please.
Okay. Father, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, just thank you for this moment, Lord Father God, as we are under your covenant, Lord Father God. And just cover, Lord Father God, this time and consecrated, Lord Father God, unto you. And we actually open our hearts, Lord Father God, and may this be a moment of serenity, Lord Father God, before you, for every member, Lord Father God, that as we, Lord Father God, lay our hearts before you, Lord Father God, and open our hearts, Lord Father God, to be good ground for the words that you will sow into our hearts, Lord Father God, and they may they grow and blossom, Lord Father God, and bring into effect and fruit, Lord Father God, that which you desire out of us, Lord Father God. In Jesus' name we praise you, Lord Father God. Use Karina as an instrument, Father God, at this moment. That has speed, that she speak, Lord Father God, that which you desire, Lord Father God, and want to declare to us. In Jesus' name, praise you, glorify you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so I just want to start off with a song. We all know it. It is a very well-known song. It's Healer by Planet Shakers. So let's just plug in for a couple of minutes and just praise the Lord. You all can hear the song, right?
Impossible for you.
Okay, I'm just gonna let the song continue to play softly in the background. Yes, Lord, you are our healer. One of the many names that is dedicated to the Lord in the Bible is also Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. And
oh gosh. Just
sorry, Claire. I've been pondering the word healing for quite a while. I'm pretty sure that if we were to sit down and to converse, then we would all have different opinions on what healing is and also how we look at healing. And this is just a current thing, but our healing, I feel and sense that healing operates in different spheres, in different levels, and in different ways. Sometimes the healing takes place without even praying. Other times it happens in worship. Sometimes it happens with just the laying on of hands. And other times there's battle, there's warfare. And in some cases, God just answers differently. And I've said to Dr. Franch, my spiritual father, I said to him, the one question I've got when I get to heaven is that the Lord must please explain to me what on earth he meant when he said, by his stripes we are healed. My small-minded mind jumps to various occasions and various things and various patterns and various things that's happened, that I've witnessed, that makes me sometimes question, God, what are you really up to? What did you mean when you said that by your stripes we are healed? And I've got no challenge with regards to what the scripture says. I think the big thing is always when people pray, how do they pray? How do we pray? How do we go about it? What is our expectation? With what background do we come to the prayer? What do we bring to the table when we pray? And because healing is so diverse, it's become a very touchy subject, in as much so that when there's a healing or when we have to pray for someone that's in a wheelchair, or heaven forbid, when we need to pray for the dead, to raise the dead, I'm pretty sure that all of us will be shaking, not only in our clothes, but we'll be shaking in our bones. Our skeleton will shake. So I went before the Lord. And it's no surprise there that I didn't, when Prof asked me to go with her to the hospital today, I immediately went, yes, Lord. We're doing healing today and I have to go to a hospital. I understand that completely. And I was actually a bit, not sarcastic, but I wanted to understand how it works. And then when we were at the hospital, Prof posted and said, yes, on the second day of the fast, with no one planning it, because this was Holy Ghost. It's just the way it ended up. So sitting there, the Lord gave me 9 keys or 9 things to ponder about. It's in a Word document, so I'll post the Word document to you guys in a bit or after the Zoom. You can read through it, pray through it. It's just revelation that's dropped in me. So the first thing that I wanted to clean declare today is healing comes from God. There's no two questions about it. Scripture backs it up. scripture confirms it over and over and over again. Healing comes from God. One of the four Gospels, Luke was a doctor. Yet Luke wrote the most miracles. He wrote the most about the miracles. He wrote the most about healing. And it's for me, it's been a study and it's been a journey for me to understand that God placed the medical system in place. He can work apart from it. He does work apart from it, but he also works through the medical system. So we must understand that sometimes we need to listen and go to the doctor. And I'm preaching to myself. The people who know me, Kirsten, Prof, Stu, they will testify that I am one of the most hard-headed people there is. If I'm sick, I'll rather stay in bed and sleep than drink meds. In fact, the only pain meds I own is Panado. But luckily, I know some people who's got meds, so if push comes to shove, I just ask them. But the thing is, your healing is sometimes requiring that you go the medical way. Other times, it's requiring that you go the spiritual way. I don't know how this works. It's dependent on God. It's dependent on the situation. But praise God that he's in control. Prof? And he does what he does. So I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures that confirms that healing comes from God. The first scripture is God heals, the Father heals the whole person. He doesn't just heal the physical or the spiritual. We consist of spiritual, physical, emotional, and mental. And oftentimes we forget that, hang on, my mental stability. If something is wrong there, it influences my whole body. If there's something wrong in my emotions, it influences my whole body. A trigger for me is, for instance, that I spend a lot of time in hospitals, not by choice and not for myself. Well, in a certain point in time, I did. And I'll share a little bit about myself right at the end, why I'm saying what I'm saying. But sometimes when I step into a hospital, like today, I immediately picked up hopelessness and despair, and it's just this weightiness that's hanging over these hospitals. And oftentimes, I just want to go and pray for everyone, and I just want everyone to get healed, set free, and to walk out of there. But that's not always the case. We have to stay inside the will of God. And if God only allows us to pick up what's going on in the spirit realm, then we pray. We pray for the hospital. We pray for the people working there. We pray for the patients. We pray. And we take it up in the spirit. So healing spiritually is the following scriptures. Psalm 103, Jeremiah 3:22, and Isaiah 53:5, the most famous scripture. When there's a healing to be taken place, that is the most quoted scripture. In and by your stripes, we are healed. By your wounds and by your stripes, we are healed. Then physical healing, 2 Kings 5:10, Isaiah 38. I'm not going to read you the scriptures. I'll send you the scriptures, and then you can just read through it, because it's important to know what the word says about healing. And we need to use the word, because the word is our sword. The word is how we counter what the enemy is doing. Emotional healing is Psalms 34:18, and then mental healing, Daniel 4:34. Healing comes always through the Holy Spirit working through believers' gifts. Jesus healed every disease and sickness among the people in Galilee, Judah, and everywhere he went. And the purpose was to authenticate or to prove that he is the Messiah. And it was also to give Israel hope and also to show them the kingdom of heaven. Revelation says that in the kingdom of heaven, there's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no fear, there's no anguish. It's only here on earth. And we as believers, we have to be the hope. We have to be the strength. We have to be the encouragement. And that's healing. Healing can come in the form of just encouraging someone. Healing can come in the form of just going alongside anyone and just hug them or hold them or whatever the Lord lays on your heart. If you're obedient, it will bring a form of healing for that person. The second thing the Lord revealed to me is the gift of healing is biblical. As I've just confirmed, I've given you scriptures. Jesus healed while proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and he gave his disciples and others power and authority to heal diseases as they proclaimed the kingdom of God. We know the story in Luke 10. My favorite scripture is Luke 10:19, where the Lord says, I've given you exousia power. Anything deadly that you drink will by no means harm you. You will trample on serpents and scorpions. So the Lord has given us these scriptures as confirmation, saying over and over and over again, you have authority. You have the power. Use it. It's my power and my authority in and through you. Whatever you say will come to pass. And here's also the warning. We must be careful what we pray and how we pray. We mustn't just jump in. Because whatever we release, whatever we speak, we need to take heed because it will come to pass. And our zealousness to see people set free, our zealousness to see a breakthrough, oftentimes causes us to pray a prayer that's not always inside the will of God. And I've tasted that. I've crossed that boundary once. And it was, and still is, something to this day that grounds me and keeps me humble to know that if I pray something, the Lord will answer it. And it may not always have the good end result that I want it to have. When we pray, we need to ask God, what is wrong? What is it that needs healing? Is it physical? Is it spiritual? Is it mental? Because we need a guide. We can't just blindly walk in and pray. 1 Peter 2:24 and Isaiah 53:5 is, as I've explained, oftentimes misapplied. It's not inside the context, and we need to. We need to understand that there's a will of God and a permissible will of God. And we need to be careful that we stay inside the will of God. Here's something that I've been chewing on that was quite difficult to hear. And the Lord said to me, he may not always say yes to a healing. And I've heard testimonies of this, where we went to go pray, and the Lord said to us, I'm taking him or her home. Don't pray for healing. Pray for safe passage. So we need to discern, we need to understand, and please, when the Lord shows you that you're not to pray for healing, don't blurt it out. Use maturity, use wisdom, and pray. But pray in such a way that you're praying the will of God. And you don't open the door for anything but the will of God. An example, a couple of years ago, or actually this year, friends of ours, neighbors actually, the husband was very, very, very sick. And the Lord showed me a couple of things. And I went into prayer for him, and I knew the Lord showed me that he's going home. He's going to a better place. And the journey, the maturity, the how had to be walked through. So I had to use wisdom when I went to go pray for him, when I went to his wife. They are dear children of the Lord, but oftentimes, like in their situation, you don't want to see your loved one go. You want them close. So I couldn't say, Tani, ready yourself, he's going home. No. So I had to use wisdom and maturity. So I prayed, Father, thank you that your will be done. As it is in heaven, so be it on earth. I thank you, Father, that your word says that you have each and every one of us in the palm of your hand. And as I prayed this, I made certain, I asked, are you sure that you're going home? And that's another tricky question. But I felt the unctioning by the Spirit, and I did it. And in 3 days, it was not even 3 days later, he passed away. But because I had spent time with him and I prayed with both of them, there was a peace that surpassed all understanding, and we could actually handle the going away. We could actually bear that burden together. So that's just a thing to keep in mind, that sometimes the Lord won't heal the way we want him to heal. And here's scripture for it. In Numbers 12:1-15, Miriam had leprosy, and Moses cried out to the Lord. He asked the Lord to heal her. She wasn't healed immediately. Another scripture, 2 Kings 1:1-17, was Ahaziah was refused healing. Why? Because he was living in sin. He consulted with a pagan. Another scripture, 1 Timothy 5:23. Paul counseled Timothy, and he told Timothy that he had to drink certain things, and he had to use ongoing ailments that would help him heal in the long run. And we all know about the scripture where Paul says that there's a thorn in the side. So we must just be wary. We must be awake in the Spirit and be vigilant that our mindsets and our ways of thinking and our ways of doing don't prevent us from hearing what God is saying in that specific situation, because no healing flows the same. In fact, Jesus healed 2 blind men. The first healing, he spat in the guy's eyes. In the second healing, he made mud and put it in the eyes. So there's different methods. Not one method of healing is the same. The fourth key that the Lord gave me was, we as Christians, we can hinder our own healing. And this one kind of threw me. And then I realized, you might have a point here. And the first thing that he said to me, the first revelation that he brought me was, we may have unconfessed sin. The word says, repent and turn from your wicked ways so that you may be forgiven and healed and cleansed. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You see, there's something locked up in confessing your sin. As long as we live in sin, but we don't confess it, that sin is hidden. But the moment confession comes, light comes. And where light is, there can be no darkness. So the moment that sin is revealed, the power is broken, the weight is broken, and the condemnation and guilt lifts off the person that's walking in that. So I want to challenge those on Zoom tonight. If there's something in your life that you're struggling with, that you are so fearful to admit out loud, maybe you're not struggling, maybe you know of someone who's struggling and you know they need someone to pray for them, but they just won't go to the church because they're scared. The very first thing that you need to do is you need to encourage them, and you need to affirm that no matter the sin, God died for them. And the moment that negative mindset drops from their unworthiness to God actually wants to forgive me, then they become open for the healing process to begin. Here's something the Lord said to me. He said to me, oftentimes we as Christians, we look at our fellow believers, and if they don't get breakthrough in healing, they tend to say, yeah, there's sin in your life. Family, friends, that's a very dangerous remark to make. For the word says, do not judge, for with the same measure that you judge, you will be judged. That opinion that we so easily use, that we so easily let out, saying that, yeah, he's not getting healed, she's not getting healed because of sin. That's dangerous. We don't know the journey that each and every one of us is walking individually. I don't know what Claire's journey looks like. I may see a part because of our interaction and the time we're spending together. But unless I am staying with Claire 24/7, I will have no clue what Claire's journey is like. The same with Frida, the same with Stuart, the same with Marcia. It will be impossible for me to make an assumption based on what I'm seeing. Something the Lord dropped in my spirit was, he said, perception is the platform for deception. I'm going to repeat it. Perception is the platform for deception. And the Lord revealed to me, he said to me, Karin, whatever you perceive as the truth is not the truth. It's your truth. It's what you believe as the truth up until my truth shines upon your truth. And then I will see, oh, Lord, I am sorry. I did not realize it. I did not see it. I was blindsided. In Afrikaans is daar 'n skrif wat sê, haal eers die balk uit jou eie oog uit voordat jy die splinter uit 'n ander se oog sal haal. First remove. I don't even know how it is in English. I'll go look it up. But be careful that the very thing that you're trying to get rid of in someone else's life is the very thing that you might be struggling with. Christians may neglect healing by failing to ask for it. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open for you. Oftentimes we think, if I ask once, the Lord will hear. He does hear. But God is a father. I'm a daughter. I'm a child. I've got parents. So I know how it works. If I want to have my way in something, then I can be pretty persistent. I don't give up. I keep on asking up until a parent or both of them gives in. Now I know that's control and manipulation, and I laid it down. That was the BC days. But that's one of the things. God says, ask, keep on asking. Don't just ask once. If you just ask once for something, it doesn't show how desperate you are. Sometimes our desperation pushes us to cry out before the Lord. I was listening to Samuel, the book of Samuel this morning. And in Samuel 1, chapter 2, Hannah went into the temple. And she cried out before the Lord for Samuel, for a child. And Eli perceived her as being drunk. Because he didn't hear any words, he just saw her lips moving. But the word says that she was crying out with her whole being before the Lord. And sometimes, in order for a healing to come, in order for a breakthrough to come, we need to reach that place, that level of desperation where we are so grieved, so overwhelmed, so broken that we we cry out before the Lord. Because we know if God, this is it, if God doesn't come through for us on this, then we're done for. And I know I've been there one or two times where I knew if God didn't come through, then it would be done. That was it. In John 5, 6 to 7, Jesus looked into the heart of a lame man and asked, "Do you want to get well?" That's a strange question. I mean, he was lame for 38 years and he was lying by the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus asked, "Do you want to get well?" And I've pondered that scripture, and then the Lord started opening it up. You see, the Lord looks into the heart. What are we really after? The reason why Jesus asked this lame man, because he wanted to see his heart. And the very first thing the lame man said was, "I couldn't get into the pool quick enough because no one wanted to help me." So he was blame shifting. Sorry. He shifted his responsibility. He said, or he posed it in such a way that his healing was dependent on help from other people. There was the woman who had the issue of blood flow, I think 18 years in the Bible. If you had the issue of blood flow, you were prevented from coming in contact with the people. You were to be outside the camp. You were not to have contact with the people. Yet this woman was so desperate for a healing that she was willing to risk her life. She said to herself, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." And she risked her life to touch that hem, to get that healing, to get that breakthrough. Oftentimes, when we're on a journey for a specific healing, it becomes difficult. You're in pain. You're broken. You're lost. Feels as though God's not answering you. And you've tried everything. You've done everything you can think of. And then you know there's one last thing. To touch the hem of his garment. But in order to touch the hem of his garment, there's a price. What is that price? That price might be your life. And oftentimes, it's also one of the reasons why we're not getting healed. Because we've failed to surrender to God's purposes. God has a purpose for us, each of us, and we need to surrender to that purpose. Our humility and readiness to receive what God has for us helps us to work through the truth. The word says that we need to, when we pray for healing, we must believe that all things are possible. Faith without works is dead. Also, works without faith is dead. The two goes hand in hand. You need to have faith. You need to have works. You need to believe. Please, don't take the easy route out and just pray, "Thy will be done." Press in, press in, press in, and hear the heart of God. Another reason why Christians might not be getting healing is through a lack of timid, or we go to God with timid prayers. We don't pray with confidence. We pray prayers like, "God, could you please, maybe, possibly, just do this small little thing for me?" And all God is asking of us to kill it. "God, I stand before your throne of grace. If there's any sin in my life, I repent and I turn away from it. And I ask for your healing to come. ask for it because you're a son, you're a daughter. Be bold about your request. Be bold about your healing. Don't go with timid prayers. Pursue him. Pursue him with a conviction that he is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Run after him. Don't hold back. And don't let your thoughts on how people perceive you when you're desperate, don't let that influence you or prevent you from running after God.